Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I am outside UGWA 316, blood, sweat, and beers, narrative fermentation, San Jose, with the gatekeeper champion.
What?
The biggest shark of the Pacific Ocean.
What?
Nick Zander.
What?
NZ, how you doing, man?
I'm great. Phil, it's funny, every time you do an interview, I got a new championship on my shoulder.
Right? Maybe it'll be the big one the next time.
Maybe it will be the big one next time. Triple crown.
I don't think that's how. Have you had the tag titles yet?
No.
Okay. But Grand Slam, then.
I'm shooting for the Grand Slam. Me and Alex are teaming tonight, so
I think I
like my chances with Big Man.
Hey, I think that you'd be the first ever person in the history of UGWA to do that.
With the way UGWA is shaping up, you know, I'm probably one of the most decorated athletes to ever come out of this company. You know, you have, you know, your Titus Alexanders and your Dark Sheiks,
yeah,
and decorated people like that. But let's be honest, when it comes to accolades, when it comes to personality coming through the TV screen, I mean, there's no one like the biggest shark in the Pacific Ocean.
Well, let's talk about that. You were the champion of sharks, aka the San Jose Championship. I mean, once you won that, it really just started kicking off for you. I mean, you were winning titles everywhere, man.
Yeah, this is number six. Well, I have number six now, being the Grapp House World Champion and simultaneously the Gatekeeper Champion at the same time.
There you go.
Two undergrounds, one in Las Vegas and one here in the Bay Area, the South Bay. So technically, I'm kind of like the king of the underground, Phil. If you want to like be technical,
the gatekeeper of the underground.
I am the gatekeeper of the underground. I book these shows.
Okay, there we go. But I mean, I think the last time I interviewed you was you were San Jose champ. What was that like, man? What was that run like? I mean, you really went with it.
Yeah. So it was just a crazy thing, right? Like, I didn't expect anything out of this. I didn't expect anything out of UGWA at all, other than, you know, an opportunity. And when you have an opportunity, you got to swing for the fences. And I seen that ball. That ball was huge. Grapefruit. Oh. Right? When I stepped up to bat and really hit a home run, I would say, with it. And only from here, I could just look back and, you know, the matches with Baby Powder, the matches with Sheik, and really, you know, honing my craft as being a big jerk.
Yeah, I mean,
being a piece of shit, I'm really good at it, Phil.
I've seen, as many of you have, you know, when Nick Zander is in the arena, it's a vibe, and it's not a shitty vibe, but it's a piece of shit that you can vibe with.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Speaking of Dark Sheik, I mean, you infiltrated the agenda.
Yes.
What was that like, man? I mean, going toe-to-toe with a legend like Sheik, getting in, playing mind games with Pollo, Del Mar, and all them?
Well, you know, people like Pollo and Sheik and stuff, you know, they have their own agendas. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
They're very greedy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Sheik just can't let it go. Pollo Del Mar can't let her personality go. So the reality of it is you use that against them. You use their greed against them. And you infiltrate it in a smart way. You make them think you're... I'm not anybody's friend.
Real...
I'm not anybody's friend, Phil. I just want to be a champion.
I like that. Real cerebral assassin over here. What's the saying? It's all about the game and how you play it?
Yeah.
Okay, I dig it. Let's talk about the tag team with Papa Yase. I mean, y'all were dominating, man. Best of the West, tag team champions. Y'all held
11
those
months.
For almost a year, almost a calendar year, almost 365.
Yeah, Heartbeaters. That's our team.
Yeah. I mean, how'd the tag team come about, man? Because I'm used to seeing you in singles, actually. Then I started seeing that pop up.
So how that came about is we had two singles feuds happening at the same time at Best of the West. And we've always been brothers. We've always been best friends, kind of thing. And we had a tag match together, and they were just like, this is just way too good. This is way too good. And Papa didn't want to.
Really?
Papa didn't want a team with the biggest shark in the Pacific Ocean, the Heartbeat, the most accoladed young professional wrestler there is today, Phil. And, you know, kind of a mistake on his part if we would have followed through with that inclination he had. But it just felt right. It just felt right at the time. You know, we can only do so much on our own, but together, you know, we could really hone our craft, make each other better, iron sharpens iron type of thing. And, you know, he has to instill some of that goodwill into me, unfortunately. Right.
Okay,
but
okay.
That cerebralness, that real cunning personality and, you know, stuff that will actually get you places. He needed a little of that from me. So I think combining those two things really made us gel together and really set us apart from teams like the Stoner Bros and teams like who are those blockbuster guys? Joe DeSole and Matt Carlos. What do they call themselves? Guys like M4 and, you know, listen.
I can't think of the tag name.
It doesn't matter. That's the point, Phil. Oh,
okay. Can I get a lifeline? What?
Lost Treasures.
There we go.
Yeah, it was lost in my mind anyway because it was so they're distant memory for someone like me.
Okay.
And to be honest, like I say, you know, just that cunning and cerebralness, it will get you a long way in this business, Phil. So just take it from me.
Absolutely, man. I mean, you and Papa, I mean, great tag team. Also, great adversaries in the ring. I mean, you guys just have chemistry.
Yeah, you know, the thing about, you know, best friends, you know, you could bleep this one out, like Chris Benoit, Eddie Guerrero. You know, they just know how to work around each other. They know each other's strengths. They know each other's weaknesses. Who are you saying hi to in the middle of my interview?
It was Ref Domino.
Okay,
all right. I'm sorry.
It was Ref Domino. You want to interview Ref Domino then?
Is
Ref Domino going to be interviewed next? My point is that me and Papa Yase have great chemistry together. And, you know, we could go in there today in our sleep and have a great match. You know, it's not always about having the great match. It's about being better than your best friend, which I've done time and time again when me and him have stepped in the ring with one another.
Okay, I like it. So you're the Hunter Dubashan. That's what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, except he has the back injury he never comes back from.
Okay, right on. I mean, you've been dominating the Bay, but you also wrestled Chris Bay. Big match at Big Valley Wrestling. What was that like, man? I mean, I saw that popping around a lot of places.
Yeah.
Fantastic contest.
Yeah, you know, wrestling a guy like Chris Bay, you know, people want to have the big match jitters and stuff. Like, it doesn't matter. He has to wrestle Nick Zander. Do you understand that?
NZ.
He has to wrestle the biggest shark in the Pacific Ocean. Do you think he knows how to swim in the deep end with Nick Zander?
I don't know.
He did a good job, actually. You know, Chris is a good guy. I'm not gonna say anything bad about him. He honestly took time out of his own life to give me an opportunity like that, and to be in there with a guy like Chris definitely helped me a lot in terms of earning a new game plan, earning my stripes beyond what I'm used to.
Okay.
And I think, you know, in the long run, that kind of thing really helps an individual like myself who may not get that opportunity all the time. You know, you have to be the king of the underground. You have to be the biggest shark in the Pacific Ocean. You have to be accoladed like myself to even get an opportunity like that. So to have that was a blessing and a real appreciative moment for me when it comes to wrestling, Chris. So.
Absolutely, man. I mean, you talk about all your accolades. Gatekeeper champ, 189 days and counting as of
right. 180, you know?
Yeah, hey, man.
Wow.
Hey, man.
189
days ago, as of right now, at the time of this recording, you know, it was right here. You beat Jordan Cruz.
I did it all by myself.
Yes, you did. All by yourself. I was on the call. I mean, it was a hot crowd. It was a hot day. It was very humid here.
Yeah.
Looking back on that match and the run so far, man, what are your thoughts? What are your tees?
I honestly, I think I've earned every bit, you know, from that moment to Devil's Night to you know, our last Emporium show in February. I think I've earned every victory on my own accord. I can thank nobody but myself for the hard work I've put in to have these type of matches where I'm able to show the world that I am the best. You know, it's not help from Alex or it's not help from Dave Dutra or whatever people are saying online. I didn't see any of that go down. I just seen what I was able to do.
It didn't happen.
I was able to get it done on my own, Phil. And I think, you know, being so independent and not relying on a faction or not relying on people to help me get things done has been a true blessing to show people that I can spread my wings on my own and I can get it done and I can be a main event level wrestler, hopefully from the Gatekeeper Championship to the WA champion.
Absolutely, man. I mean, well, let's talk about factions. Graveyard Shift, led by the wonderful Doc Atrocity.
Who are they?
What do you mean?
I don't know him. I don't know who you're talking about.
But you're a member.
Wait, what are you talking about?
But you're a member of the Graveyard Shift.
I'm not a part of the Graveyard Shift.
Is this like Fight Club and like you don't speak about it? Is that what this is?
I don't remember ever being initiated in any graveyard. I was bought.
Okay.
So I don't think I'm like I didn't.
Was the initiation getting rid of the braids? Let's talk about the braids, man. Let's talk about him. I mean, you were in your Bianca Belair era, whipping that thing around, you know.
Whoa.
Pause.
So, when it comes to the Brit, okay, I know Doc. Okay. I know Doc. He's an amazing human being. Very honorable. Very honest. One of the most genuine people you'll ever meet. And, you know, when it comes to, you know, that group, what'd you say, Graveyard Shift?
Yes.
When it comes to them, you know, they're more gritty. They're more spooky, you know, Halloween style. So okay. I didn't think the braid really fits in with that mold. So just trying to get in where I fit in. Really trying to dig deep and dive into sort of a role. You know, when you look at Dave Wasted, you don't want to get too close to him. You know, you might get syphilis. So things like...
I can sense it from all the way over here. He's right over there.
And, you know, that's why we're over here.
Yes.
That's why we don't want to get too close. You get a guy like Toby, he might have toe fungus.
We're still social distancing out here, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't know why music's so loud during my interview, but this is the type of chaotic things that happen in the graveyard. You know, as the gatekeeper, I'm not even in there, so I don't know what goes on. I'm just at the front gate.
Absolutely.
I'm not allowed to get a haircut. I'm not allowed to have braids. I'm not allowed to eat more than once a week. It's a real genuine awesome process that
okay.
I've just true. It's like Ramadan, but every day.
Okay, all right. So I guess whenever this is over, can we see the braids make a return?
What's going to be over though?
This graveyard association, kind of in, kind of not. This acquaintanceship or this situationship, whatever y'all got going on. Entanglement of sorts.
I don't think it's ever going to be over.
Okay.
You know what I mean? You know, it's like Will Smith's banned from the Oscars. I think it's a permanent thing.
I mean, that has a 10-year window on it. So you're saying
he's not going to be alive for 10 more years, Phil.
We're going after the Fresh Prince.
He's not going to be alive for 10 more years.
Okay.
You know how Hollywood is, Phil. So anyway, my whole point is the Graveyard Shift is never going to end. I'm going to be champion forever, whether it's the UGWA champion, whether it's the gatekeeper champion, whether it's the tag team champion. I'm going for it all. Graveyard Shift doesn't die, obviously.
Okay.
If Graveyard Shift did die, Doc would be dead like 5 years ago. Okay. Let's face it, he's due. But
all right.
We're really molding into ourselves. We're really, you know, figuring out each other's roles in it. Me personally, again, I don't see myself a part of it. I'm just kind of like...
Just kind of there.
I'm like, put it like this, you know, like the cashier at a fast food restaurant.
Okay.
They're not necessarily touching the food. They're just taking the order. Yeah. And, you know, it's up to Doc and all these other guys like Dave Wasted to put the fries in the bag, to make sure there's napkins, to do the bank statements and such like that. So I just see myself like the cashier.
All right. I like that.
But without the minimum wage part. Doc does pay me very well to be around.
Pays you very well for your services. Talk about fast food for a second. What's the favorite fast food chain? What's the go-to on the menu?
My favorite fast food chain? Well, considering I only could eat once a week, it's hard to, like, choose because generally I eat stuff like cat food.
Okay.
A little Iams.
Oh.
Iams is usually what I get or like, you know, the fries at the bottom of the bag?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know what the bag is actually. I don't know what's in the bag. I just know it tastes similar to, like, maybe like a sweet potato, but unsweet potato.
Okay. So we can't talk about those times I snuck you off to the Taco Bell?
To the Taco Bell?
Yeah.
You had a
bah blast.
I'm sorry?
A bah blast.
Okay.
One more time?
Yeah.
A bah blast.
Okay. Since no one's here. Yeah, so Taco Bell is definitely great. I get a double cheesy beefy crunch burrito. $2.99 right now. I don't know what they are in California. It must be like $3.30
out here. Man, talk about these. Inflation's a bitch.
I would never live out here. You know, between the Bay Area and California, this shit is awful, Phil. And I feel sorry for you.
Hold on.
I feel fucking sorry for you.
Hold on. Don't say that, bro.
What are you talking about? The 49ers, they blow it.
Dude, I don't watch football. I don't care. Like, yeah, they... 49ers, they not in.
The Golden State Warriors are getting old.
Let me stop.
They're getting old.
Let me stop. I'm gonna get kicked out of the Bay. Let me stop.
What are you talking about? By who? Draymond? Draymond's the enforcer of the Bay Area now? Get out of here while you can.
Right. Lastly, this has been great. This has been fun. What's your bold prediction for 2024? What is Nick Zander going to do by the end of the year? When the clock strikes midnight on 2025, what is the biggest thing that Nick Zander will have accomplished?
Making it out of California in one piece and hopefully staying out of this state that's inflated, that creates bad habits, like going to Taco Bell.
Yes.
Creates bad habits like, you know, getting syphilis. Look at Dave. Do we want to be Dave? No one wants to be Dave.
No, nobody wants to be Big Sif.
I mean, Doc is cracking right now. He needs some type of lotion to help him with that.
A little moisturizer wouldn't hurt.
He needs a little Fountain of Youth, a little
foundation.
A little Las Vegas. A little, maybe sprinkle some of Las Vegas into him. Maybe some youth.
Okay.
Right?
A little Viva Las Vegas.
When you're talking about bold predictions, the prediction is the Graveyard Shift's going to take over UGWA.
I thought they already have.
Yeah, but like permanently. Oh, like okay. Slash is no longer in charge of UGWA.
Slash has been having problems with Doc, with Journey Fatu attacking him.
Like I think he just needs to focus on his new home, make sure he's nice and situated, and let Doc take over the promotion here, because Doc is doing such a great job of building such a fantastic unit. And I just feel like, you know, we could carry that on through 2025, 2026, 2027. You know, people like Slash or whatever, I don't know if they got that in them. So, you know, it's up to people like me, people like Doc, to carry the load and create a new foundation.
Okay.
In
okay.
Ugwa.
I love it. Real last question. Uptown by Drake.
Yeah.
Great song.
Love it.
Why is it the walkout?
So my friend Jesse.
Okay.
Shout out Jesse. That was the last song we listened to together before he moved to Washington.
Okay.
And Jesse has since passed away.
Oh my God, I'm sorry.
And I just think that's something that I've always carried with me, where it's like, that song makes me kind of remember my best friend that I can't see anymore. And so whenever I get in the zone or I get to feel it, I just remember those times that we used to sit on the park bench with our Four Locos.
Four Locos, the original?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Ooh. And we're really able to enjoy that point in time of my life. Okay. And I think it just brings me back to that, maybe the better days, you know? Perhaps of when I used to have my friend here. So
it's like he's walking with you to the ring.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Nick, this has always been a pleasure, man. I appreciate you, man. It's been a pleasure to get to know you over these past few years. Let the BC know where they can find the biggest shark in the Pacific Ocean.
You could swim with the biggest shark in the Pacific Ocean on Instagram at Life Under the Scope, 2 E's, all lowercase. On Twitter, Nick Zander, YB. And if you want to get on Facebook, like Doc Atrocity likes to, and, you know, that old people stuff, you can find me on Facebook under Nick Zander. YouTube, Heartbeat Studios. I got some matches on there. Got different content that I'm posting on there. And like I say, hopefully I can get out of California. You guys can catch me at those platforms.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, Nick Zander.
Champion.
Yeah.
Your shark.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Hardly home, but always reppin'. You hardly own it, always second. When I'm awake, you always